If he wants, just make sure you put some money down on the desk. I got back to my office after he had supplied for me, and he had laid down a nickel. That's all it was worth. But I did figure it out, Brother Dan. I figured it out. The problem and the shortfall has been that I've tried to mimic him. That's, I figured it out. Hasn't the Lord been so good to us? The Lord has blessed me so abundantly.
Amen.
Brother Larry, I love that song.
Amen.
And that was has quickly become my favorite version of it. I love it. And the young ladies that sang from Traverse, I bug them to death to sing that song because I love that song. And I love the way they sing it. I appreciate it so much. I appreciate Brother Gordon so much and Home Baptist Church.
Amen.
And the effort that they put into this conference, I appreciate it. I'm thankful for it. The blessing of being able to gather together and see folks that we don't get to see very often and have our iron sharpened. And it's been sharpened. Either that or you haven't been anywhere near the grinder because it's been there. I'm so thankful for the blessings of this life. I'm very humbled to stand before you today. There's so many things going through my mind. I did want to have one person singled out. We have a young lady that traveled with us down, well, not with us, but in our group from Traverse City that turned 17 today. And so happy birthday. I thought about maybe all of us should sing to her, but you all do that later. And I won't try to do it. So that's, but happy birthday, Hannah. We've heard so much about rejoicing in our salvation. The message that I have been given by God this morning, I believe, is one that will carry the theme right on through. The message this morning that I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you is one that the Lord had to teach me some lessons when He worked on me about this message. I had preached from this text in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 is where I'll be. I had preached from this text two or three times, and yet not the way that the Lord's laid it upon my heart for this morning. The last time I preached upon this text, I just made a statement. And I get all done with the statement, get all done with the message, and it's one of those messages where you walk away completely unloaded and feel like the Lord's used you. And somebody says one sentence, and you instantly go, oh. Well, that puts a whole different twist on it. I don't know if you preachers ever had that. You walk down and you say, well, by the grace of God, I was able to preach that how I meant to preach it, and walk down feeling thankful for that strength, and then one person says one thing. Oh. And I had one of those moments. And the Lord brought a thought to my mind. Follow the shadow is the title of the message. Follow the shadow. How do we live what we've been hearing? Rejoice in your salvation if you're here today and saved. You have more to rejoice in than you can possibly fathom right now. And I go back to again, how do I rejoice? Follow the shadow. We heard from Brother Bowen to keep on keeping on, and we've heard that it's tough, and we've all been there. How do we keep on keeping on? Part of that, follow the shadow. Let me explain. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It is my prayer just to encourage you this morning to follow the shadow back to Christ. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. All of these things in verse 16, all of these things just represent so many different things. Many Old Testament ideas, holy days, Sabbath days, different aspects of something the Jew would be very familiar with and understand far more clearly and fluently than we do. But he says of those things in verse 16, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And the picture that came to my mind was that you have Christ. You have the fact that a body was prepared for Him to come to this earth. Ultimately, of course, to lay that body down in death upon the cross in sacrifice for the sin of His people. But that body, Christ, can be seen in shadow after shadow after shadow in the Old Testament.
Amen.
And I had made the statement in the message, the shadow is really not good for anything except for a false sense of security. And one person said, the shadow can lead you back to Christ. I want to take you through several scriptures this morning and encourage you to look for Christ on every page of your Bible.
Amen.
And follow that shadow right back to Christ every time. We know from Exodus that Moses was instructed by God that when the children of Israel became thirsty and they became grumbling about it, and he said, Moses, I'll stand on the rock out in the desert. And the first time he was told, now you strike that rock and out will flow water. Life-giving water. Refreshing water. And we read that account of Moses obeying God. And we read that account of this amazing event. And we have the tendency maybe to say, well, that was cool. That was a neat experience. We might think, boy, if I'd seen something like that, I'd never doubt God again. Well, we're not cut out of any different cloth than they are.
Right, right, right.
But that, we look at that and we say, wow, that was wonderful. That was an amazing experience. And they had so many of those. And it was. But don't stop there. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, that rock was Christ.
Amen.
Paul says that picture that Moses was led of the Lord to not only do, but then to record for us, that picture wasn't just of the sovereignty of God. It wasn't just how God provides. That rock was Christ. In other words, it was a picture of Christ.
Right.
Follow that picture in Exodus chapter 17. Follow it all the way back to Christ.
Amen.
And look for Christ.
Amen.
Everywhere in our Bibles. 1 Corinthians 10. Of course, you know the context here. Verse 4. Talking of those that were with Moses in the desert, he says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, That's an interesting picture, isn't it? That followed them, and that rock was Christ. So we have in that experience more than just a neat story, a neat account of something that took place. We have Paul coming on centuries later, and this helps us to have confidence in the divine authority of the Word of God. We have Paul coming on the scene centuries later and said, hey, you know about that rock? You know about how it was a rock of refreshment? You know how it looked like there's no way this rock could do anything of value? It's just a rock sitting there. And Paul says, yeah, you know, that was Christ. That's Christ. God, help us to follow the shadow of all that we see in the Old Testament right back to Christ. Don't get stuck there. You'll miss Christ. And don't overlook the fact that it all points to Christ.
Amen.
You'll miss Christ.
Amen.
You'll miss Christ. There's no strength in this shadow. Had that rock been positioned properly in the desert so that the sun could shine past it and that rock could cast a shadow, there's no strength in that shadow. There's fleeting comfort from the rays of the sun, and even that's fleeting as the sun and the shadow changes. There's no real strength in that shadow. You don't run and hide under a shadow for strength and safety. But you can follow that shadow right back to Christ and find that rock that followed them. That rock is Christ. I remember when the Lord was talking to the Pharisees, and he told them about the scriptures, they are they that speak of me. I mean, they thought that in the scriptures or in the keeping of them, they could earn their way into the good graces of God. And he said, you've missed the whole thing. You've missed it all. The scriptures, which what would they have had in that day? Of course, what we call the Old Testament. They are they that speak of me, Christ said. So I thought of that shadow, or following that shadow, back to the rock. And that rock is Christ. A picture of strength. I thought of that in terms of satisfaction. I think of the psalmist in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
I shall not want. Now that confidence, that contentment, you can hear when you read Psalm 23, you can hear in the psalmist's voice something that goes far beyond an impersonal aspect. You see that personal walking together with the Lord. And we remember that the Jehovah, Lord, in all caps in our Bible, is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, it's the Jesus of the New Testament.
Amen.
And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And we read that and we might find much comfort in that, and we should. It might find a great amount of satisfaction to read of the psalmist how that the shepherd cared for him, and how that the confidence was there when the shepherd was on the scene. How that he knew that he was provided for. How that he was safe and secure. How that he knew that he was being well directed. How that he knew that only goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And after that, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
He had such contentment upon him.
Amen.
Such satisfaction. And we say, well, that was just such a beautiful love story between the shepherd and the sheep. And then centuries later in John 10, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd.
Amen.
Follow that shadow right back to Christ. What do you think they thought of? Those that were well versed in their Old Testament. When he said, I am the good shepherd.
Amen.
Picture after picture just going off in their minds of what the good shepherd would have done for them. Don't just read Psalm 23 and leave it in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Don't read anything and leave it in the Old Testament.
Amen.
It was all pointing to Christ. Follow that shadow. Follow that shadow right to Christ. It is His body that all those shadows lead toward. It's Him. He is the body. In Colossians chapter 2, make your way to Christ. Wherever you're reading, whatever you're reading, make your way to Christ. You're reading in Genesis chapter 6 and you see the ark. Make your way to Christ. Of course, you're reading in earlier in Genesis and you see Adam. And we're told in Romans 5 that he's a type of Christ. Make your way to Christ. You read of the ark of the covenant. You read of the tabernacle. You read of men like Joseph and Moses. You read of the rock that followed them. Find your way to Christ.
Amen.
From all of them. Every one of them.
Amen.
I thought of it in terms of not only strength like the rock and satisfaction like we see in Psalm 23, but safety like we would find in Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Where we read in the first two verses, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. We've covered that one. The Lord's my rock. We've made reference to that. And my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower.
Amen.
Now here is an easy illustration of the shadow. Because you have that high tower. And he is saying to us here that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is my place of safety. My high tower. It is that fortified place. And of course, that high tower would cast a shadow under the right conditions. Now, being in that shadow is not going to help you a lot. It's not going to be protecting from the enemy. Being in that shadow, as it was pointed out to me, has one main benefit. You can follow that shadow if you can't do anything else. But crawl on your hands and knees and follow that shadow right back to the high tower. You find your way to Christ.
Amen.
If the Lord has saved your soul, get in this book and find your way to Christ on every page. If the Lord has never saved your soul, get in this book and beg Him to find your way to Christ.
Amen.
He's there on every page.
Amen.
And He's there that we might find Him and exalt Him.
Amen.
Honor Him. Follow the shadow. We have Paul writing in Romans 15:4 that those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Romans 15:4. Well, what would he have in mind when he says those things that are written aforetime? All he had then, he had the Old Testament. Written for our learning. Christ said, these are the scriptures that The scriptures are they that speak of me. I challenge you. Get in your Bibles. Maybe you want to get a journal. And you see a picture. Someone says, "Oh, I believe this is a picture of Christ in this way." And you say, "Well, I don't know that I see that." Write it down. Be as honest as you can. Write it down. I don't see this picture in this verse like, you know, maybe the pastor does or maybe somebody does. Write it down. Close the journal. Pray about it. Pray that the Lord would reveal to you Christ. And many, many times it could be at another service with another man preach. It might be at the grocery store. But the Lord might bring something to your attention and it might just be, boom, there it is. And you can go back to the journal and you can say, "Okay, saw that one. And when you see, many times it'll be so clear that you can't understand how you couldn't see.
Right.
You know, how many things I struggled to learn. And I look back now and it seems so clear, I'm surprised it took me any time at all. But then I know me. I get that. But look for Christ. Follow the shadow back to Christ. Now look with me in Hebrews chapter 9. You see, there's one main difference between Christ and all the shadows that lead to Christ. There's one main overarching difference. Christ had a body. It's prepared for him. And with that body, he made sacrifice, particularly for his people. He made that sacrifice, and there was a shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22 through 24 tells us this is very important. It is vital. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands," those tabernacles, those temples, "which are the figures of the true. Christ has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." The key difference between the shadow that leads to Christ and Christ is a body. That body that was prepared for him, that body that we read about in the next chapter of Hebrews, that he would lay down his life. Let's read on with this thought in mind, this context in mind. Verse 1 of chapter 10. "For the law having a shadow." Oh, even the law. Yes, sir. Leads you right back to Christ. "For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." All of that which took place in the Old Testament, all of that ceremonial law which was commanded of and ordained by God, was for one purpose, one overarching purpose. I mean, I know there are other purposes. Remind them of their need of Christ. The priest would make atonement for them. I understand some of the other, but the overarching purpose, a shadow that would lead right to Christ.
Amen.
Follow that shadow. "For the law having a shadow of things to come," and see all of those shadows and all of those sacrifices that we'll read about in a minute, all of those things that happened over and over and over as they obeyed the ceremonial law, all of those things were but a shadow.
Amen.
And because of that, they weren't sufficient.
Right.
Because they were just a shadow. They weren't the body. They weren't the substance. They weren't the real thing. But they do point you
right
to Him. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. It's part of it's an answer to verse 1. If the comers thereunto had been perfect, had been made perfect by those sacrifices, well, they could have ceased. But they never did get to that place where they could cease, did they? For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins? But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. Okay, I get that. That's part of why this was the practice instituted by God. For it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, because that was just a shadow. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body. Colossians 2, the body is of Christ. But a body thou hast prepared Me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of Me. Find Him in the book written of Him. I come, in the volume of the book it is written of Me, to do Thy will, O God. Above, when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest, back in his priestly duties as a shadow, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man who had a body, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Follow the shadow back to Christ. Make your way to Christ. Beg God to reveal to you Christ. So many in religious circles are stuck in the shadow. They're stuck and satisfied with, unfortunately, because the god of this world hath blinded their minds, just stuck in the shadow. Going through religious exercise is all that I need. No.
Amen.
I've told this to our folks more than once, but I work with a fella, and he said to me not that long ago, and he said it to me to get under my skin, knowing that I was a preacher, he said, I'm not really into that whole organized religion thing. And I said, neither am I. And I left it there for a second, let him stew on it. So what are you talking about? Cain was religious.
Right.
Cain was very religious. Cain was attempting to serve the true and living God, but doing it his own way. The Pharisees were very religious, highly organized religious activity. In their minds, attempting to serve the God of the Old Testament. but they were stuck in the shadow. They couldn't get out of all that they could see was the Old Testament shadow. When he that is the body showed up, they said, "No, you kill him. We don't want him around messing up our organized religion. We don't want him around messing up what we got going on here." They missed him. They could have, from the Old Testament, seen him, but they stayed there looking at the shadow. They didn't follow the shadow back, which is what I'm trying to encourage you today. Follow the shadow back to Christ. A body hath he, how does he say that there in Hebrews? A body hast thou prepared me. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins.
Amen.
And not just any blood. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This has been the ransom paid for my redemption. To purchase me. To purchase all of his people. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Follow every shadow you can find and ask the Lord to show you more, reveal more, the shadows in the Old Testament. Don't get stuck in and stay in that shadow. But ask him to reveal in that to you Christ. Brother Gordon.